It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Inside Syracuse Basketball with Mike Waters. Presented by Syracuse.com.
College basketball is a great thing. Anything can happen.
Welcome to the Inside Syracuse Basketball Podcast. I'm Mike Waters. Today on the podcast, I'm joined by Saimir Torrance, who recently transferred from Marquette to Syracuse. I talked with Saimir about growing up in Syracuse, how he reached out to Buddy Boeheim when deciding whether to transfer to SU, and the role he expects to fill for the Orange next year. Saimir, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you joining us here on the podcast. And it's really kind of awesome to have a hometown kid such as yourself go away for a couple years at Marquette and now transfer to Syracuse, and you're coming back home. And I can only imagine how excited you and your family are.
Very excited. Unbelievable moment. We want to cherish it because opportunities like this usually never happen to hometown kids. And I'm just grateful for the opportunity.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
When you made up your mind to leave Marquette, transferring out of there after 2 years, what went into that decision? And was coming to Syracuse, going to Syracuse University, at all in your thought process?
Well, my mind was kind of already made up middle of the season. I was just going through a lot of things. I just felt like I didn't fit there, and it wasn't what I wanted it to turn out to be, and it just didn't work out for me personally, individually. I felt like I did what I had to do. Just didn't get the results out of it, but that's fine. I definitely don't regret going to Marquette. I take it as a lesson. Met a lot of good people. Still going to have relationships to this day and so on with them. So definitely glad I made that decision. Definitely glad I got to learn a lot of stuff out of those 2 years. But I just needed something new. I needed something better just for me individually, so I can look towards the future. And the Syracuse question, it wasn't on my list. It was a late bloomer. I was really looking into.
I kind of thought maybe it wouldn't be in there because you announced that you were leaving Marquette, and Syracuse hasn't even played its first game in the tournament yet.
Exactly. So they were still in the tournament, and they weren't even on my mind. I'm sure I wasn't on their mind at the time because of their schedule and the tournament, and they wanted to focus on them. But I was looking at other schools such as South Carolina, UMass, Wake Forest, South Florida, UAlbany, and Siena. And, it was 3 days after Syracuse lost to Houston And I was watching Syracuse's games regardless of just anything. Like I'm a fan regardless of where I go, just because I'm a hometown kid and I know players on the team. So I kind of have that love and support for anybody that I know, and I just want them to be successful. So I'll watch the games regardless. But just 3 games after the Houston game, I had text Buddy personally myself, and I had told him, hey, I'm interested. If you guys have a spot, I'll take it immediately.
You texted Buddy?
I texted Buddy. This was 3 days after they lost to Houston. And they were home, and then he just texted me back. It was funny because me and my dad were just talking about you. And then soon enough, a couple days later, I got on the phone with Coach Boeheim, and then had a nice chat. And he just told me, whatever the situation is, we just have to wait for players to transfer, because he knew players were going to transfer on how the season went. He just didn't want to take me in right away if players didn't transfer. And obviously the players that were there are ahead of me because they already know the system and stuff like that. And I'll have to get to know the system. So he didn't want me to feel like I was going to be in the same system that I was in at Marquette. So he really just told me the truth of what I had to do and the reason that I had to wait. And just soon enough that the opportunity came, and I just told the Boeheim family that I'm all theirs and I committed to Syracuse.
I mean, it really did kind of happen fast. I mean, Syracuse loses to Houston on the 27th of March. Like 2 days later, we hear that Woody Newton and Robert Braswell are transferring out. And then I think it's 1 day later, we hear Kadari Richmond is transferring out. Now, that's probably a move that impacted you a little bit. He's a guard. And then what was it? The 31st of March?
Yeah.
You know what I was thinking, you know, in that time frame before, like, you even contacted Buddy, I know the former Marquette assistant, Dwayne Killings, you mentioned UAlbany's on that list. Dwayne Killings, the Marquette assistant, has gotten the head coaching job at Albany. I'm sure there was, I mean, he's the guy that reached out to you, right? He was wanting you to come with him.
He knew the process. He knew what was going on, but he knew that I wanted to transfer before he even got the job.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, we had multiple conversations. He told me whatever decision that I make is he's gonna be right behind it. Just really just looked out for me, to be honest, because he recruited me to Marquette.
Well, if you're looking for a good landing spot in a transfer situation, familiarity with somebody, you know, so whether it's either a Marquette assistant coach who's moved to a different school or coming back to your hometown, a school that offered you coming out of high school and you know you played AAU ball with half the team. I mean, I can see how both of those, even though they seem very different, Albany and you know, and Syracuse, but they share a similarity in that they both have that familiarity for you.
For sure. I really just wanted to go to a program where I can be trusted and I can be myself. Oh, I can say I wasn't really myself at Marquette. I wasn't allowed to be myself. That plays into the fact of why I wanted the transfer. And I wasn't going anywhere if I didn't know the coach. If I didn't have that personal relationship with the coach. So that's why the schools that I named, those are all schools that I've known the coach either for like longer than 2 years or just met him, but he's a relationship guy who has a good relationship with my AAU coaches or my high school coaches. So there's some sort of relationship that went into this process, and I wanted to pick a program, a school where I had the best relationship with the coaches.
Now, you said a little something there about Marquette that you didn't feel like you could be yourself. Is that an on-court thing, or a role that they that you weren't able to play the role that you would hope for, or was that an off-court thing?
Definitely an on-court thing. Off-court, I had no problem being myself, no problem smiling and making new friends and just learning from everybody. I had no problem off the court. On the court, yeah, like you said, I wasn't able to be myself. I wasn't able to show the talents that I strive of ever since I was a little kid. My dictation, my passing ability, my floor generation, I wasn't able to cherish that or even show that. And I didn't have that strong relationship with the coach. I still love Coach Wojo. We just kind of went our separate ways. And
so was that like, what, you wanted to play more point guard and you were off the ball, or you wanted to do something like, you know, something, I don't know. Yeah. Fill that part in a little bit for me.
Well, I just really wanted to have more time. It wasn't like we were winning at the time and I wasn't getting a lot of time. We were actually losing. And we had multiple conversations with the coaches individually as a team. And changes said they were going to be made, but changes really didn't happen.
Okay.
So that's why I was so confused, because when something goes wrong, usually you look back on it and you want to try to fix it. And I feel like we didn't do that at Marquette.
I know it was a tough year there.
Yeah.
Like the high spot was beating North Carolina and Chapel Hill, right?
Oh, that was wonderful. That was a wonderful moment. At least I got to say I'm 1-0 against Roy Williams. So
this is where I get to remind Saimir, or maybe tell him because he didn't know, that I'm a North Carolina grad.
Really? That's funny.
Yeah, it's funny. So make all the jokes you want. You're 1-0.
Yeah, I'll take that 1-0 spot.
Yeah, I bet you will. Well, you know what? You're going to get more chances to play in Chapel Hill now that you're at Syracuse and in the ACC.
For sure. For sure.
Which is still weird. You were in the Big East. And Syracuse wasn't in the Big East. Now, you're coming to Syracuse, and we were just talking about roles and stuff at Marquette. Now, Kadari Richmond leaves Syracuse because, I'm not sure, but, you know, I'm imagining he wasn't super happy in his role or whatever. What role do you see yourself in at Syracuse over the next year, 2 years? You know, that you're, you know, what did Coach Boeheim tell you that you're like, yeah, I'll sign up for that. I can come in and do that for you.
Well, like I said, relationships was a big key in why I chose this program and this school, and why I came back to my hometown. Coach Boeheim and GMAC and Coach Autry, they grew up watching me play, so they know the real Saimir Torrence. They know what I can do. They know what I'm not really good at, but they know my game. So why not come back to the hometowns if the whole coaching staff is invested in you and knows your game, and as well as the players. Like, I played with Joe and Buddy my entire life, so they know my game as well. My role is to simply come in, follow them. Don't come in and try to be something that I'm not. Be myself. Like I said, I'm a floor general. I like to get guys involved. I can score when I can. I see the floor very well. And I'm just a very – I have a strong nose of winning. I want to win. So whatever that takes.
Let me throw something in there. You mentioned being a floor general a couple times already in this conversation. 82 assists and 41 turnovers, a 2-1 assist to turnover ratio in your 2 years at Marquette. That's really good, especially, you know, when you're playing about, what, 15 to 18 minutes a game.
For sure.
You don't see a lot of, you know, point guards in that amount of time have that solid 2-to-1 assist to turnover ratio. That's excellent.
Yeah. I mean, I always had that in my game ever since I was a little kid. Honestly, never really cared about scoring 50 or 40 or 30 points. It wasn't really on my mind. I wanted to be that guy on the floor that got everybody else involved and made everybody else happy. That's the kind of guy I am. So.
We talked about you coming home and stuff to Syracuse. I want to get into that a little bit. You grew up in Syracuse. What are your parks? Where are your parks in Syracuse? Where did you play ball as a kid? Or is there a which gym? Which gyms were yours?
I mean, I kind of played throughout the whole city. I live down the street from Kirk Park, so I was always around there a lot. I trained at Hyer Park. Mm-hmm. Thornton Park was a park that I grew up playing Pop Warner football in. Oh. That brings back memories, and that's right on campus. So,
yes, it is.
I mean,
I've heard stories of back in the 60s, Dave Bing and guys like that going over and playing folks at Thornton in pickup games.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to recommend you do that while you're at Syracuse. that's frowned upon now, right?
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned Kirk Park. I was thinking immediately there, Pop Warner, because Kirk Park's got a really strong Pop Warner program, don't they?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, this life is all a form of relationships. And I knew a lot of people that went to knew a lot of coaches that went to Thornton Park, which is the team was called Sherman Park at the time.
Okay.
So I knew the coaches, and my family, my parents knew the coaches. So I felt like I was at a good spot.
And you went to SAS, Syracuse Academy of Science?
Yes, I did.
What was that? I know you left and you went off to Vermont Academy for a year, but what was the experience in high school like at Syracuse Academy of Science?
It was good. A long fifth grade to sophomore year. It just went by pretty fast, I can say. I mean, I started off playing JV in seventh grade and then moved up to the varsity in eighth grade. Basketball-wise, made it to the championship all 3 years of my varsity career. Never really got the chance to cherish or get to win the section 3 title, but it is what it is. still kind of mad about that, but
I could tell you started slowing down.
But my SAS moments, and they were really good. I'm glad I went there. I'm glad my parents put me in that school.
You held a Syracuse offer coming out of high school or back in high school. And I remember you got that offer at the Elite Camp. You went up to Syracuse. You were at the Mello Center. You didn't have an offer, but they invited you to Elite Camp. And I remember you telling me you had a little bit of a chip on your shoulder going into that Elite Camp. You wanted to earn an offer.
I did. I wanted to. That was the goal. I was really the goal to go in there and show the Syracuse staff what they've been hearing over the years and over the summer. And I just wanted to prove that I could play at that level. And that camp I obviously did, because me and Coach Behan had a talk. I still remember that talk. But it was after the whole camp was done. He just kind of pulled me aside and just told me, hey, you can come here if you want. And that was basically it, to be honest.
Were you like, wait, was that an offer?
Yeah. I didn't really understand it as well, but I kind of knew what words he was trying to say. But it was unique. It was a special moment for me.
Now, didn't your mom go to that? Wasn't she up there watching the games that day? She was there, wasn't she?
Always there. She's always there.
She All right, there. So when you two get outside the Mello Center, I mean, when did you tell her, hey, you know, Coach Behan just offered me, or what was, or you know, how did that go? Were you still in the gym?
I,
you
told her I didn't wait until we got outside. I told her inside. I didn't wait. There's a bunch of City Rock guys around, and my mom was there. And after I had to talk to Coach Boeheim, I told her immediately, like, hey, Mom, guess what? Syracuse just offered. And you could just see, like, my mom's whole expression in her face and how proud she was of me. I think she did want me to go to Syracuse from the jump.
Yeah.
I didn't really pick up on that until later, but yeah.
And then pretty soon after that, there's a lot of guards at Syracuse. Like, because you reclassified, you had reclassified, and then you went back to your original class, and that put you in the same year as Bryson Goodine and Joe Girard, right? Jalen Carey's 1 year ahead of you. I can see why you're like, wait, that's a lot of guards.
Exactly. Not everybody really noticed that at the time. And Marquette was a great opportunity to play behind Marcus Howard and Colby McEwen and all the guards that were already there before me. Mm-hmm. And it was a spot for me at Marquette. So that's why I really just chose Marquette. I felt like it wasn't really a spot at Syracuse, knowing that you have two freshmen coming and then you also have two soon-to-be veteran guards that are still going to be there. But they ended up transferring out. So, I mean, it ended up working out for me at the end of the day, long-term, and I'm happy.
You played AAU ball with Joe and Buddy. And I know you've seen Buddy play. At what point, at what age, what class, did you think, yeah, Buddy's going to be pretty good in college?
Oh, man. I knew he was going to be good. When was this? This was early. Like this was like our early high school year. So I want to say freshman, sophomore year. Like I knew Buddy was gonna be good because he had the work ethic. Whenever somebody has the work ethic, whenever somebody just has that drive to just work each and every day, no matter the result, and not kind of get big headed of who you are and the situation. Mm-hmm. You're gonna be good. So I mean,
you should be a recruiting analyst, man. You were on board way earlier than most folks.
Yeah, me and my family, we knew who Buddy was gonna be and turned out to be, and now is getting that shine, and he deserves it. He deserves it more, just because of the work he puts in every day. It's extremely incredible. He's nothing. He's just a hardworking kid. You expect that out of him if you knew him for a long time. So,
with a sweet jumper.
With a sweet jumper.
Okay. Now, you know, another guy you're going to be playing with at Syracuse is a guy who's like you. He's transferring to Syracuse, but you saw and played against him in the Big East, Cole Swider of Villanova.
I also played against him at prep school.
Oh, that's right. He would have been at St. Andrews when you were at Vermont Academy.
Yep.
All right. So tell us about Cole.
He's great, great guy. We got to know each other throughout the AAU because we played them. Played for BABC, I want to say. And City Rocks played them a lot. So I got to know him then. And then I got to know him a little bit more in prep school. And then it carried on to the Big East. He was at Villanova and I was at Marquette. Three strong years of just playing against each other. So we know each other. We know each other's game a little bit. He's another great, great player coming in.
Now,
shoot the heck out of the ball, and I can't wait to get an assist from him.
Yeah, let's see now. You got a guy in Cole Swider who makes about 40% of his threes. You got a guy in Buddy Boeheim who, like, in the last 12 games of the season was making 47% of his threes. Joe Girard shoots it fairly well. You got some other guys on the roster. This has got to be heaven for Symear Torrence. Those 82 assists and 41 turnovers at Marquette.
Going to go up.
Improve, yeah, right?
Go up. going to go up. It's nothing like playing with a bunch of players who can shoot the ball at a high, consistent rate, too, as well. Like I said, it just kind of evens out and takes away Buddy's his energy. He had spent a lot of energy trying to score the ball last year a lot because of what was on the floor, and now he kind of get to balance it out because of Cole Swider and Joe and me on the court making the reads and giving them the ball in their best situations.
Now, you're finishing up your spring semester courses at Marquette, even though you're back here in Syracuse, right? Finishing up online?
For sure, yes.
How soon are you able or allowed by the NCAA or whatever to get up to Syracuse and start working out with the team, both in the like in the weight room or in the gym?
June 7th is the date.
Okay.
June 7th.
Looking forward to that?
It's coming. It's slowly arriving. I believe it's taking too long. I want to get there now. but I mean, it's slowly coming. I can't wait. I'm anxious.
The month of May is going to be a very long month for Symir Torrens.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is my birthday is June 2nd. So I'll enjoy that as well. So I'm also looking forward to that.
Get your birthday in and then boom, you start.
Start.
At SU. It's got to be pretty cool. I mean, when you announced that you're coming to Syracuse back on March 31st, 3 days after first texting Buddy Boeheim, which I still find hysterical, what did you and your family do? Did you celebrate?
Well, the crazy thing is, like I said, it was last minute, and my family didn't even know. I kind of kept it a secret. To be honest, I didn't want it to get over somebody's head or just expect something other than that. I wanted it to be right, and that was my main focus. So I didn't want to tell anybody. I didn't want to jinx it. I did it. The day that I told my family, what it did, I told my little brother and my mom and dad because they're in the house with me. Was the day Coach Boeheim called me. I didn't tell him about the conversation with Buddy. I just told him about the conversation me and Coach Boeheim had.
Really?
Yeah.
You're sneaky.
A little bit. I like to keep secrets.
All right. Well, that's fair. That's really cool. You kind of kept it under the radar.
Yeah.
All right. But still, what was your mom and dad's reaction when you told them?
Yeah. It was a big smile on their face. They didn't really say too much. They didn't want to say too much. But I can see the feeling and just the energy. Without them even saying anything, how proud they were of me and how happy they were, just because they just wanted me to be happy. And they knew I wasn't really happy at Marquette, and they just wanted me to be really happy at the place that I was going to next.
Well, what do you think it's going to be like next fall when hopefully fans are back in the stands at the Carey Dome and you get to come out of that tunnel for the first time wearing orange?
It's going to be incredible. I might cry. I might tear up. Honestly, might tear up. But when I come out of that time, my first word is gonna be just thanking God for this opportunity. I gotta cherish him. I gotta cherish it because he's given me a lot of opportunities, and I'm nothing but blessed.
Well, that's fantastic. I'm happy for you because it seems like you're really happy and content with the decision and. I wish you well over this next couple of years. And thanks for joining us on the podcast.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Thanks.
I want to thank Symir for joining me on the podcast today. And thanks to you out there as well for listening in.
Please subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcast and follow all of our complete coverage of Syracuse basketball on Syracuse.com. Until next time on the Inside Syracuse Basketball Podcast, I'm Mike Waters.